Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Nick Keyser back at our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Joe and I out here at Duncan at 14835 Lebanon Road in Old Hickory. People rolling in as we speak. We have hot coffee. We got donuts. We got everything rolling in here. Come on out. 14835 Lebanon Road here in Old Hickory. We'll be out here all show long. Chase and Big Joe will be out here later this morning from 9 to 11 as well. So come get your donuts. Come get your coffee. I'm staring at some maple donuts over there, Joe, and I think they're calling my name here in just a few minutes.
How have you not crushed four of them already?
I don't know.
What's good going question. On with you, man?
I know. We'll get in there. Don't worry.
This hour, you need to be much better.
I agree. 14835 Lebanon Road here in Old Hickory. Come check us out here at Duncan this morning. So the Titans lose last night 20-16 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Taking your thoughts on that all show long. Joe, we've discussed Will Levis's performance. We'll get back into that a little bit later in the show. We've discussed the performance of the offense. The defense, to me, continues to be extremely disappointing. And, look, we've seen flashes this year where they've looked really good. I mean, that first half of the Saints game, they looked great. Cincinnati game against, albeit a very limited Joe Burrow, they looked really, really good. For the most part, I thought they looked good last week against Atlanta. So it's not like it's just been a total zero from the defense all year long. But last night, they're bad. I mean, they gave up 166 yards on the ground. Pittsburgh, who's not been able to run the ball all year, ran for 166 yards last night against the Titans. Kenny Pickett, who wasn't great last night, made enough plays in the passing game. He threw for 160 yards. He missed a lot of throws. But it feels like, Joe, in some of these games, especially on the road, when the Titans need their defense to make a play, they don't do it. They've been incapable of doing it so far this year. And the rush defense, I think, is probably the most disappointing part of this, because for 2 years in a row, the Titans have been the best rush defense in the league. And right, and now they're getting gashed by, you know, Zach Moss, and they're talking about, you know, it reminds me of Le'Veon Bell after the game. You know, Jaylen Warren last night ran for 88 yards on him. You know, it'd be one thing if you're getting carved up by Nick Chubb and, you know, Austin Eckler, whoever you want to, you know, Saquon Barkley, some of your elite backs in the league. But they just, everybody's running on the Titans right now. And that, to me, is extremely disappointing. This defense, I know you're looking at the game and, you know, that you're like, okay, well, they give up 20 points in an NFL game. It's not that bad. But when they need big stops and big moments at big times, for the most part, this defense is just not providing those right now for this team.
No, I mean, look, the Steelers are bad. The Steelers are bad offensively. They averaged 5.5 per carry last night, okay? The Steelers came into this game among the worst in the league. They came into this game at 3.4 per carry, 29th in the NFL. Okay, so you gave them more than 2 yards more per carry than their average. And also their offensive line banged up as well. And I don't know which was worse. The rush defense, that number is huge, or just the absolute lack of pressure on Pickett. I mean, they go hand in hand. I mean, you know, Vrabel, after the game, a lot of the talk, of course, you know, there was some talk about Levis and any downplay like you'd expect. There was a lot of Kaharski asking about, you know, the series, the play calling, stuff like that. But where Vrabel's passion came out after the game was talking about, you know, the defense. Like, you know, basically make a play. I mean, he has said this a lot this year, okay? He has called them out a lot. He has mentioned how much they get paid several times. Here's a quote from Vrabel. I'm reading this in Gentry's column. Quote, throw somebody around, shed a block, make a tackle. You know, there's no secret formula that we can blitz all day. That brings challenges. We can mix pressure, but you got to line up and you got to beat somebody. That's what defensive football comes down to. And, you know, I saw Kaharski had a video with Jeff Simmons in the locker room, you know, and it's just, or maybe it was TD, but, you know, it's look, what about bringing Vrabel's comments to him and just sort of like, yeah, I got to see the film, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, look. This is one quote that Gendry had, though. Quote, when the quarterback gets the ball out quick, we can't control that. We got to just try to get our hands up. Yeah, he got out quick sometimes. He had plenty of pass reps last night where he was able to stand in, scan the field, and had a pretty clean pocket. So just some of it is like this team has a totally different level of energy and effectiveness at home.
Yep.
But that's just inexcusable. These guys are veterans, highly paid veterans. who have won plenty of road games, even though, like you said, they haven't won since Green Bay last year. Like, these guys have a bunch of skins on the wall on the road. There's no excuse for it. I think that you've got – Autry kind of up and down with his impact. I again, didn't see Landry last night. Arden Key is just here and there. You'll notice him on the field, but it's not much.
He's a ghost rushing the passer.
Yeah, and then so – And the Simmons, and Tart didn't make the impact he made in the previous game. I mean, and I tell you what, if you want to talk about the run defense, like someone texted me like, wow, what a huge downgrade from David Long Jr. to Jack Gibbons. That's really the replacement is Azeez Alshire, who actually I thought was really good against Atlanta. He was not last night. And Gibbons was just a step step behind on everything last night. Not everything, but just way too much stuff. So their linebacker play was bad too. And then, look, I've been arguing back and forth with John on the text line about Byard. Yes, Byard has taken some bad angles and all that. Byard's made a lot of plays this year still just in the run game.
Yep.
The Byard to Edmonds transition is a bad one.
Oh, yeah.
Man. I mean, Edmonds – and maybe, look, I know it's very early for Edmonds, but he just did not give them much last night.
Well,
the secondary
was
bad. That, like, just up and down across the board, you got to have more help than that from that level, and they didn't get it.
Well, look, if Edmonds was good, Philadelphia's not trading for Kevin Byard. So,
and giving a pick.
Yeah, the expectations for Edmonds, to me, were not very high heading into it.
Right.
You know, I said yesterday, was the Atlanta game a sign of maybe things to come with this pass rush and them starting to get things figured out, or was that kind of a one-game thing? And it seems like it was a one-game thing. I mean, they hit the quarterback twice. So no sacks for this front four. They hit the quarterback twice yesterday. I mean, you can't
– that's astounding.
You can't have that. I mean, it's – and that's – what's that, the third time now this year where they went through a stretch right before the bye week where they hit the quarterback, I think, a combined three times – in 2 weeks, in the Colts game and in the game in London against Baltimore.
Right.
And now, after a five-sack performance on Sunday against Atlanta, which looks really good, you have no sacks and you hit the quarterback twice. I know there was a – Jeffrey Simmons got after Kenny Pickett one play and he got called for roughing the passer. I hate the call, but I'm not surprised by the call. It is what it is in the NFL now. I mean, they're going to call that roughing the passer. I hate it. I think it's stupid.
The full weight is going to be called.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Jeffrey Simmons is supposed to do there, so I get it. I hate the call. But you got to affect the quarterback more than they did last night.
And, again, the Steelers come in, and they're banged up. They come in 22nd in the league in sack percentage, for their offensive line, 8.19%. Not as bad as the Titans.
Yeah.
A solid 30th at 12.89%. Ooh, what a number that is. But still, 8.19% sack percentage. I don't have the exact number of what the Titans got, but it was much lower than that. I promise you that. I mean, all the numbers say they're not a good pass-protecting line. They're not a good line. They're not a good offense. And I was stunned right from the start when Tomlin takes the ball, but they come right out, and everybody immediately who follows the Steelers host is like, wow, there's the best drive of the year for the Steelers. Now, granted, between that touchdown drive and the winning touchdown drive, they gave up two field goals, so they had some, some good possessions defensively, but just that 92-yard drive, you are talking 53 of those yards on the rush, and you just got like the sweep to Warren for a huge run. You have some struggles. Sean Murphy Bunting's out with the thumb, and so Avery's in, so Deontay Johnson crushes him for a 32-yard play. But on that play, Terrell Edmonds late on the play.
Yep.
You've got Eric Gehrer has a holding on Deontay, so there's another one. I mean, like some of the injuries and stuff like that caught up with them. They certainly need McCreary back. They need Sean Murphy Bunting in there. But none of that explains away just how feeble they were up front against a bad running game.
Where's Arden Key? I mean, the first half in the New Orleans game, I thought that Arden Key was going to end up with 13 sacks on the year. I mean, he looked incredible the first half of that game. He was in the backfield. He was getting after Derek Carr. I don't remember. I'm sure he's had one. I don't remember a good pass rush from him since then. Like, I don't remember anything Arden Key has done rushing the passer since the first half of the New Orleans game. And we've talked about that guy a lot heading into the year. I mean, in camp, he looked good. How much of that was him going up against Andre Dillard, which is beginning to seem like that was probably what it was in camp? He's got 2.5 sacks on the year. But, I mean, I think we're starting to see why
he was
Art Key has not
yeah.
been a starter at this point yeah. in the league. And it's just he's been a ghost rushing the passer.
Yeah, well, and so Rashad Weaver's back in the lineup last night. He was a healthy scratch the game before, and, you know, you don't see a lot there. It's just a whole bunch of guys in a lot of cases making a whole bunch of money. I mean, Key was a modest signing.
Yeah.
But just it's not coming together. We're gonna get back to this on Twitter. Missing Jim Schwartz. I'm afraid he was the key to this D being good. I don't think Jim Schwartz is the key to this D being good. I know he was here for 2 years as a consultant. I think if you don't coach players on the field, I'm sure he was he gave good advice on all that stuff. He's great. He's a great D coordinator, all that stuff. But yeah, I think that you're looking in the wrong areas there. I mean, look, I think that some of this is some personal individual performance eroding a little bit. I don't think that, like, Jim Schwartz was the mastermind behind everything, and this was like the Wizard of Oz.
We'll have more on the Titans defense coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. What has happened to this defense, the pass rush, the rush defense, the whole nine? We'll take your thoughts on all that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Friday morning. Got some tickets to give away to see Need to Breathe with special guests Judah and the Lion come up at Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, November 15th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Need to Breathe with special guests Judah and the Lion at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Wednesday, November 15th. 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on the Titans defense. Joe, a lot of comments about Trey Avery being out there. Obviously, last night, I mean, Sean Murphy bunting goes down in the game. You're already without Kevin Byard, and Roger McCreary didn't play yesterday. So there was a point last night where secondary is just not very equipped to play well. I mean, you got basically three backups in the game last night at one point. I did love the Amazon Thursday night. I think it was Sean Murphy bunting who they gave the designation of strong questionable.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
I honestly don't know. Does that mean strong questionable as in stronger chance that he comes back, or strongly questionable, like strongly really questionable and he's nearly doubtful?
I don't know. I've never seen the strong questionable designation.
Never seen that
before.
Either. That's an Amazon, an Amazon special for you.
It was really nice to see that last night, but there's no question. I mean, the secondary was shorthanded last night. And look, what we talked about, when you've got that going on, you have no pass rush and you can't stop the run, that's not a very good formula for defensive success. And look, Kenny Pickett did put up great numbers last night. We've talked about it, though. He missed at least three and I think four guys that could have been pretty significant gains in that game. And, had you hit on some of those, we're talking about the Titans' defense getting torched in the passing game, too. So, just all in all, not a very good formula for defensive success last night for the Titans.
Yeah, and again, you can certainly look at like missing Roger McCreary and say, man, do they miss him? And they do. They do miss him. Then you miss Murphy Bunting. By the way, I thought Fulton was pretty good last night.
I thought
night.
He was too.
Fulton's been playing pretty good football quietly, but it's hard to tell because they have so many other holes all over the defense. And here they are again losing another close game, which again used to be the Vrabel thing, but it's now not the Vrabel thing. And I tell you what, if you can't when you can stop the run and you have a certain level, think about like this defense going to Kansas City last year with what they got from Malik Willis. Like Will Levis in the same situation, they blow out Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now you actually really, I think overall offensively, got to be happy. I mean, you'd like Derrick Henry to have more carries, but he had 75 yards. He almost broke one that probably wins him the game. It was one ankle tackle that keeps him from a long touchdown. But overall, like, the offense stepped up last night, starting with Levis. But even with all those injuries, those guys, got enough done to give them a chance, and the defense just lets them down again. I mean, it's like just like Indy. You know, you go out there, and it's just like just getting run over by Le'Veon Bell Jr.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to figure out. And you know, we've seen these guys, especially the people that we're talking about that have been paid, right? Jeffrey Simmons has been paid a lot of money. Danico Autry has been very effective for the Titans. Harold Landry, which I think is probably the biggest thing to me that from those four that we're talking about last night, I thought Sunday might have been a sign that maybe with the 2 weeks off heading into the game, some time to rest up in the middle of the season, that Harold Landry maybe was starting to figure things out and get some strength back, look more like Harold Landry. And look, maybe it's as simple as he played football on Sunday, the short week on Thursday, and he didn't have the same burst to him. But Harold Landry, not very noticeable last night for the Titans. And, you know, it's not his fault. He's coming off the ACL, and it may be until next year before he looks like the Harold Landry that we're used to seeing. But bottom line is, when you're getting nothing from Arden Key rushing the passer, Harold Landry looks limited this year just based on coming off the ACL from what we've seen. And you're just not getting enough of a push up front. With as much money as they've invested in those guys and as important as they are to the defense, if you're not getting that from those guys, then you're just not going to have much of a chance defensively. And right now they're not getting it anywhere near consistently enough.
Yeah, and we're talking about this being one of the best pass rushes in the NFL going into the season, which, whew, there's some takes. I mean, Dustin says, I said in the preseason that Malik Willis was more accurate than Levis. I don't remember saying that. Maybe I did. Maybe he was at that time in practice. I mean, you're just looking at practice. So there's a lot of takes we could probably jump on in the preseason.
Sure.
But I think the number one pass rush in the NFL take that we had and others had, yeah. I think that's right in the range of you know, of one of the worst takes of the preseason that you could probably
have. Yeah, I think so too. And it's one of those things too where, you know, we've got somebody texting in talking about just the linebacker play dropping off to Al-Shaair. You know, Al-Shaair, I think, has had moments this year where he's looked pretty good, but also a couple of moments where he's looked lost. Now, I will say he did have a good pass breakup last night running up the slot there where I thought if, you know, Pickett lofts the ball a little bit more, that's probably a touchdown.
That was a heck of a drop by him.
It was.
His speed. So.
Yeah, good stuff there.
He was good against Atlanta. But he's not as good as David Long Jr.
That's the thing.
David Long Jr. could play. That's the thing.
And we were wondering, like, how important would that be against the run, right? Like, and how big of a drop-off is that? So there's the front four part of it, but there's also the linebacker part of it. And you mentioned Gibbons last night. I mean, there's replay after replay where Gibbons is getting there just a tick too late. And just a tick too late in the NFL is the difference between a 2 yard gain and a 12 yard gain.
Right.
And we saw that a lot.
And look, I'm looking at a third round pick. We talk about so many picks that have gone bad in recent years. Man, too bad your third round pick can't be better than Jack Gibbons right now. But it's not even a consideration. So, and again, Gibbons has had some good games this year too, but last night was definitely, to me, you know, they threw at Gare and Avery, right? I mean, that's what you're going to do. And they exposed Gibbons in the run game last night way too many times.
So is this just going to be what the Titans' run defense is as they move forward? I mean, again, it's one thing if you're getting carved up by Chubb and Saquon Barkley and all these guys. I mean, they've been carved up by Zach Moss. Last night, Jalen Warren carves them up. You know, Najee Harris had some good runs too, but Jalen Warren carves them up. Like, is this – has the Titans' rush defense gone from maybe their biggest strength as a defense to now a huge liability as they move forward here? Which is – if it has, I don't know how much chance they have.
Well, it's completely – I don't have the game by game. It's completely erratic because they've had some good games and they've had some terrible games. You know, in particular, this and the Colts game were atrocious, right?
Yeah.
I think those are the only two really, really bad games. But overall, it's certainly not a strength.
And no, absolutely not.
If that's not a strength for this team, tell me this team's strengths. It's rookie quarterback?
Yeah.
It's rookie quarterback and it's veteran receiver. Just let them play catch and everybody else sit it out.
Yeah, it's
and,
wild.
Yeah, and Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, that's what I said. DeAndre Hopkins is the eighth receiver with Levis. Right. Yeah, punt it, kick it,
Another great punting game by last night by Stonehouse. Punted the crap out of the ball again.
Oh, he's great.
Directionally, it's all looking good with the Titans kickers.
They have some things that should make you help you win close games, like a punter doing that stuff and a kicker doing that stuff, right? And they still can't win close games enough because their defense is bad.
It's amazing to think about. Got a lot of people asking today, why does everyone get healthy when they leave the Titans? We're going back to the training staff today?
Well, look.
It is weird.
No. I mean.
AJ's been about as healthy as it gets in Philadelphia to this point.
Yeah. It's not like he was terribly unhealthy here, but he had a few things.
Yep.
Some nagging things. He had to have a couple little minor surgeries.
Yep.
I don't know that everybody leaves here and then they never have any injuries, but it's a fair thing to look at and wonder what is going on here versus there. I know they've tried to figure out here all kinds of different things, and it's soft tissue is what matters, right? Like, you can't control, like, what happened with Treylon Burks last night.
Right.
Does that mean he's injury prone? I mean, he's had two situations, and I don't know what it is. Obviously, they were worried about the neck and everything. He ended up being fine there. Is it a head thing? Is slammed to the head to the turf? That's also what happened to him at Philly last year. He's had some bad luck, but he may also be injury prone.
Well, first off, just glad he's okay.
Yes,
but I mean your offensive line, four of your five starters got hurt last night on the offensive line, and you know it wasn't going very well for Petit Frere anyway, and then he gets hurt. Two separate times in the game. Skoronski went down. He ended up getting back in there, which was good. Dillard went down at one point. I mean, the only guy that didn't get hurt on the offensive line last night as a starter was Brewer. And got a lot of people on the text line. What about Raidens? Like, I thought he did
fine
at right tackle. Like,
I mean, you're
looking
at TJ freaking Watt. He did okay.
I know people are going to roll their eyes at this, and that's fine. Like, are we not getting close to the point where if you're the Titans, you have to ask yourself the question, would we not be better off, or at least the same, with putting Dillon Radins at left tackle as you are with Andre Dillard right now? Like, how much worse could he actually be?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Last night, again, and look, I give Dillard credit for, like, getting hurt and coming back in, too, and he's trying to battle, but I'd take Radins over Dillard at left tackle right now. Yeah, I would.
I mean, I don't know how it could be worse. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. We are out at Duncan in Old Hickory, 14835 Lebanon Road. People rolling in. Hot coffee, fresh donuts. Come on out. We'll be out here for the rest of our show until 9 o'clock. Chasing Big Joe will be out here from 9 to 11 as well. 14835 Lebanon Road in Old Hickory. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 745. Right now, you know, so the Titans are now gone to 3-5. We've talked about the defensive struggles, the performance of Will Levis, all those things, and we'll get back into all that. If you're Vrabel, how are we feeling today, knowing that you are 3-5? We've talked about the schedule in front of them, the quarterback decision that you've got coming up at some point, which to me has been made. Like, Will Levis needs to be the quarterback as they move forward here. How are you handling that with Tannehill if he's healthy and you decide to go with Levis? What do you think that conversation is like between Vrabel and Tannehill at that point?
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. Look, Tannehill knows he's out of here, and Tannehill has been a pro and has sat there and endured watching them draft a quarterback, watching them draft another quarterback, watching them trade A.J. Brown, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, he's been a pro through all of it, and he's been a pro through all of this. I mean, I thought Marcus Mariota did the same when Tannehill took over the job. But Tannehill's, you see the sideline interactions and stuff. I mean, he's in there to help Levis and be a pro about it. So I don't think it's a hard conversation. I really don't. Tannehill has to understand that. I'm sure Tannehill, if you give him a choice, he'll be like, yeah, I'd come in and play. And, I mean, there is a sliver of possibility that Vrabel could look at the schedule ahead, look at everything, have the information that Tannehill will be fully healthy, which I have my doubts about, but let's say he does have that information.
Yep.
And decide, look, it's just a little bit. There's just a little bit better chance of winning. Playbook's a little bit more open. Whatever you think, if you're Vrabel, with Tannehill. This game is a must-win. Tannehill, you can't lose your job because of an injury, which I think is a fallacy.
Yep.
But there's a slim possibility Vrabel could think that way. I don't think he will. I'll go with Will Levis because Will Levis is playing winning football at quarterback.
He is.
So, also, look, Kevin Byard's missing last night. No matter what anybody wants to say, they missed him last night, and his absence was part of the story of their defense failing. And so you've made that move already. You have already hamstrung yourself to some extent with that move.
Yep.
So go ahead and think about the future with the quarterback too.
You imagine what the reaction will be on our program if Vrabel gets through the end of this thing here and he decides, you know what? I think Tannehill gives us the best chance to win against Tampa Bay. It'd be an interesting day program.
Now, the thing is, I do think there's a chance for some serious outrage here in the next few days. Obviously, Vrabel talks today. And then they'll get into like a normal game week next week. I think Vrabel absolutely may just keep it open. Like, we'll see how Ryan is.
Yeah.
Which would suggest that Ryan would be the starter. Now, he was asked if he's healthy, and he said, I don't know, the other day. Which, to me, kind of tells you, I think that it's just going to be Levis, as it should be. But I could see Vrabel keeping the door open. And then all the way until, I guess in theory you could take it all the way to game day at Tampa Bay before it's official. Now somebody could be asked during that week who's getting the ones reps and might spill the beans, but you could try.
Yeah. Look.
Vrabel
may. I think he might try. We'll see. A lot of people on the text line asking about Skoronski and why they're not giving him a look at left tackle. At this point, we've talked about this all year. It doesn't look like there's a willingness to do that. So I don't – we're eight games in at this point. I don't think that that's just going to change now that Dillard has been as bad as he's been. Like, Skoronski, if they were going to take a look at him at left tackle, I kind of feel like they probably would have done it at this point. So it looks like they want him to be at guard. And the other thing is, like, if he does play left tackle, like, at some point – he's got to get some work there, right? Like, he's not practiced left tackle since he was drafted, I guess. I don't know. Did he get some reps at left tackle in rookie camp or early in camp? I don't know.
I don't think so.
For the most part, he's been working at guard. So, like, if you're ever going to play him at left tackle and try that out, he probably needs at least a week of practice to do that, right?
Yeah. I tried to answer Chip from Mount Juliet on this, and my texts are not going back the other way now. So I apologize. So I'll just tell you, Chip. Yeah, that's the thing. In game, if a rookie hasn't taken a rep at a position, if it's an emergency, it's an emergency. But you're not going to make that move there, And again, if you want to look at the whole picture of pass, look at last night. They've got Watt coming up the middle. He's on the right side. He's on the left side. Like, play your most talented lineman where he's been playing the entire time. Again, I'm not against the idea of at some point them saying, okay, late in the season, we're looking at Levis. How about look at Skoronski at left tackle?
Yep.
If they think that's a possible solution down the road. As of yet, everything that has come from them is, frankly, what matches up with 98% of the draft analysis of Skoronski, which is great tackle in college, could be a good tackle in the NFL, should be a great guard in the NFL. And
yep.
You can whine about draft positioning and premium positions or whatever, but if you have a player and he has a best position and you believe that, then I think you should play that player at his best position. I understand the issues at left tackle. If they're in a playoff race and more people get hurt or whatever, I'm not opposed to giving him a look this year. But long term, he's going to be a guard.
They're clearly going to have to draft a left tackle.
Yes.
Clearly.
Yes.
I could sit here today. Yes. On November the 3rd, and I could probably tell you what their draft pick is going to be in the first round next year. It's probably going to be one of the best left tackles in the draft, or at least what they perceive to be the left tackle in the draft. And there's a lot of different things they need on this roster. But until you get that part of it figured out, Levis has shown enough. And look, you and I have talked about this. There was the idea that if they were bad enough, could they go draft like a Caleb Williams or a Drake May at quarterback? They're not going to do that. They need help at wide receiver.
I can tell you right now, you can just please flush that idea.
It's not going to happen. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
The way he's played for two games,
exactly.
Flush it.
So it's not going to happen. you could – I mean, certainly they need more help at wide receiver because, look, I'm glad Treylon Burks is okay, and that was a really scary moment last night. Up until that, not much from Treylon Burks again last night. So, and now he's hurt again, so what's that going to look like for his health the rest of the year and his production? Because that's the other thing, Joe. If he's hurt again, depending on how long he's out, you have the time of the injury of how long he's out, and then you have what appears to be when he gets back in, just like a ramp-up time to get him back up to speed, and you're running out of games at that point to be thinking. So, you know, we could be talking about two seasons of just not much from Treylon Burks. So they need help at wide receiver too, but to me, until you get left tackle figured out, that's got to be your focus if you're the Titans.
Yep. And I think it will be. And, you know, someone on the text line way early in the show was like, just give up on Burks. And you're not going to do that. I mean, if he can play, you're going to play him, and you're going to hope he can stay healthy and play.
Yeah.
I mean, people said give up on Kyle Phillips, you know, by the way.
He's balling last night, baby.
I don't think I've done enough, you know, gloating about this. And, again, I'm not saying Kyle Phillips is an amazing player, but you know what? He can help you. He led the Titans with 68 receiving yards last night. Targeted five times. He caught four for 68. Great.
That's
what
great
you look
for.
Phillips,
yeah.
Keep that going. It looked like there's a little connection between Levis and Phillips. Good. Keep that going because Hopkins, you know, someone mentioned Hopkins didn't do anything in the second half. But they were trying to give him the ball.
Yeah,
I mean, he was doubled consistently in this game. He was targeted 11 times. So the only other person that got to half of that was Spears with six. I mean, they're trying to get him the ball. Levis tried to get him the ball at the beginning of the last drive and should not have thrown the ball he threw, and Tompkins had to play DB.
Yeah.
And he did draw at least one defensive penalty, maybe two in the second. He drew, three or four all night, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, but
Joey Porter
Phillips,
was
that's why you don't give up on Kyle Phillips, because he can play. So let's see if he can stay healthy, because if he can, he will help this offense. I think the same thing about Burks, but, you know, whatever the injury was exactly last night, you know, if it's a concussion or whatever it is, you also had the knee that was acting up on him, causing him to limp, causing him to look at his knee on the sideline. So some people are injury prone, and he may be one of those people.
I got a texter that says, I know it's two games, but how many teams would trade their current quarterback for Levis? What do you think of that one?
Wow. Well, Levis, tier one, baby.
Look, it's been a really impressive start.
Yes.
If you're a Titans fan, I don't know how you couldn't be anything but very encouraged by what you've seen through two games. And you know the stat line last night. I mean, the box score doesn't read four touchdowns. I thought he was good again last night. I think there's a lot to build on. So that's kind of what I went back to earlier. And it was interesting to get – we got a lot of response on the text line talking about this of, like, if you're a Titans fan, there's the loss that you're dealing with, dropping to 3-5 and – you know, you lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers, an old AFC Central Division rival that you lost to last night. So there's still a lot of hatred in this fan base for the Steelers and that rivalry and all those things. So you lose again to Pittsburgh on the road. You're processing that this morning. But there is also the Levis part of this. And this is just me. Like, I'm looking at this, and the Levis part of this to me is a bigger deal than the loss last night. And I've got kind of the 30,000-foot view of the Titans in mind when I say that, but if Will Levis works out and he ends up being the guy that we think he might be, that totally changes what this franchise can be moving forward. Yes, on his rookie deal, but even beyond that, like if he's a great quarterback, and again, it's very early, I'm not willing to say that yet, but if he's a great quarterback and you finally found one of those guys, that's what every team in the league is looking for. And if you're the Titans and you may have found one of those guys, with the roster construction, the salary cap space, all those things, it totally changes your outlook for your franchise as you move forward. So that's right. That's how I'm feeling today.
No, absolutely. Now, look, I'm glad. Again, we got a variety of opinions. Here's a text that says, you guys are awfully confident in Levis. Can't wait for a year from now when he's obviously not the guy. Hey, it's possible. I mean, all we're doing is we are reacting to two games worth of very, to me, clear information that indicates that he's got a chance to be a very good quarterback in this league. Long way to go. Hey, you may be right, but, I mean, I don't think we're overreacting to what we're seeing. And if you think we are, I mean, I guess a lot of people are. I've already seen some NFL reaction around the league to him and these two starts, and I think it's appropriate. He's looked very good. This also means, Robbie, you start the clock. in a way. And so this offseason, you know, look, Dillard was obviously a bad signing by the Titans. You know, this offseason, you got this cap space, and the cap space absolutely matters because the cap space, you cannot sell to your fans that you don't use your cap space, and you have a lot of holes to fill. And so the choices, the draft choices and the free agent choices have to be good, and you have to support them. And you could be good next year potentially with Will Levis as your quarterback. But the clock's going here like, okay, now hold up your end of the deal, Rand Carth on Mike Vrabel.
Yep. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Toonsis, the cat who could drive a car.
Honey, you won't believe it. Toonsis can drive a car.
Toonsis our cat?
Yeah, come on, I'll show you.
Toonsis, look out! You said he could drive.
Well, I thought he could. I saw him up there fooling around with the steering wheel, and I guess I just assumed he could drive.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. Joseph with the little Toonses in the background, and now Sandstorm, which makes me think of Shane Beamer. I turn things over to you.
Yeah, thank you. And that does not mean, by the way, that this will be a Jared rant.
That's good.
Although we have one of his many nicknames is Toonses. And also, Jared bailed on us today, huh?
He did.
Jared has too much important film study.
There was an episode of Jared's
film
room. Film
to break down.
That he had to get to last night. No Jared, no TD today either.
That better be some.
We've been abandoned.
Well, TD's flying.
He's actually
home
working.
From Pittsburgh. Yes, yep. Exactly. TD's doing things that he needs to do. Jared, very disappointing. But this is not about Jared. This is, I guess I'm going to call it. I've already called him out, but I'm going to make this a full rant. And I guess I'm hoping that this ends it. It probably won't end it, but I'm going to try to end it.
Okay.
I guess we'll call this a Ron rant. So I'm calling you out, Ron, because we've already gone back and forth on this. But you're still pushing this. So I'm going to read your text, and then we're going to calmly try to put this to bed, okay?
Okay.
Ron says, like I said yesterday, let's see what we have in Levis. But at the same time, prepare for next year. Keep who we can keep, blah, blah, blah. Throw the towel in to start building blocks for a better team. So let's do an undercover tank. And I said, look, Ron, you can wish this at home if you like, but, like, it's not reality. It's not going to happen. So, you know, go back and forth. As a fan, I'm good with throwing in the towel for the greater good for next year and all that stuff. So, look, if you are a Titans fan and you want to – you kind of secretly hope, you know, I guess like Levis – I mean, I guess last night's a dream, right?
Yeah.
Levis plays well. Not perfect, but he plays awfully well. He has another very encouraging game. The Levis plays well, but they do just enough to lose and you have a high draft pick. Well, that's fine. But, like, if you're actually suggesting that the Titans are going to in any way organizationally – I mean, I guess maybe Amy Adams Strunk could go like Stephen Ross at some point and try to slip Vrabel a few bucks to tank, you know, and start Malik Willis at quarterback and go Dillard at left tackle and Jalen Duncan at right. I'm trying to think of the different things you could do.
You could.
You know, sit down Derrick Henry and just go give Jonathan Ward 40 carries. I mean, you know, you could try some different things. Again, like, just think about this from a human aspect. First of all, like, think about this from Mike Vrabel, okay? We've spent a lot of this week talking about Mike Vrabel, who's final say and all this stuff and how it works out. Like, Mike Vrabel's lost a lot of games lately and hasn't won a lot of games lately, and his team's losing close games lately. And, you know, if you could see an owner, let's see. I could see Amanda Strunk, who has fired a GM in the middle of the season, saying, boy, I really like that rookie quarterback. By the way, apparently, ownership-driven, the pick of Will Levis. I could see Amy Armstrong saying, you know, I really like that quarterback. Is Mike Vrabel the coach to develop and lead us into the new era? you think if you're – like Mike Vrabel, that doesn't cross his mind? He just saw John Robinson get zapped in the middle of the season last season. So now you want Vrabel to say, hey, you know what? Let's screw around and just go about 4-13 and then high draft pick. Yeah. High draft pick with me fired. No. Vrabel's coach – Vrabel, all of these coaches coaching for their jobs, okay? Other than the coaches who are coming off Super Bowl. I mean, in this league, especially with an owner who's a little bit unpredictable – you can't afford to lose. These players can't afford to put anything but their absolute best on tape. I mean, I guess I guess maybe Simmons could. You know, Simmons could just chill if he wants because he got paid. There's a few handful of people, I guess. But other than that, you're trying to get your next deal or you're trying to stay in the league. You're competing with these people. You are playing this violent sport. It doesn't exist. Tanking does not exist in the NFL. Other than from on high as a concept, the people who coach and play in this league cannot possibly think that way. And they don't think that way. And if you're an NFL player or coach, you are a competitor to the level that would make you sick to even have it mentioned to you. Please stop. It's not going to happen. Again, if you want to root from afar, like, okay, guys, lose this game, that's fine. I mean, if your football season is more enjoyable thinking about the draft and thinking about having a draft pick six spots higher than what you would have right now, go for it. But to actually think, if you think, Ron, and I know, Ron, you're just representing. It's not like you're on an island here. If you actually think that anyone in that building would ever entertain it, you are completely in fantasy land. You do not live in the real world when it comes to the Tennessee Titans. So stop.
The other part of this is the quarterback, right? Like, a lot of times when you talk about tanking, it's to go get the quarterback. And when you want a higher draft pick, it's to go get the quarterback. And, look, I understand that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be available, and if you want the Titans to take a left tackle, you want the pick of the litter at left tackle so you can get the best one. I get all those things. So I understand wanting to have a high draft pick and to build your team that way. Also, you want your young quarterback to play well. And my guess is if your young quarterback plays well and he develops, you're probably going to win some games. So, like, to me, like, if the Titans go in the tank here, I mean, there are ways that Levis can play well, can develop, and they're still not good enough to win. But based on the rest of the roster that I still think they have, like, if Levis plays well for the rest of the season, they're going to win some games. And they're probably not making the playoffs.
You would think
so. But they're going to win some games.
Yeah.
So, is that more important, like the development of the quarterback, to continue to watch, get some snaps, play well, get better as the season goes on, and be in a position next year to where he could be a really good starting quarterback in the NFL? Like, to me, that's more important than any spot or draft pick you could get. In this league, as we know, it comes down to quarterback. So if you feel like you've got a chance that you figured out the quarterback, everything else is secondary to me at that point. You gotta. What is the best path for your quarterback to develop? And if he plays well, and that's encouraging this year, you're probably going to win some games because of it, would be my guess.
Right. We did this earlier, went through kind of like the Titans playoff picture. I think this next game it's pretty. To me, the next game, you win at Tampa Bay, you end the road woes, you get yourself back to 4-5 going to Jacksonville. Then you're still in there for a wild card spot. But even if you don't, and let's say you lose this one, you go lose at Jacksonville, you get to 3-7, and everybody can bring up the Jags from last year, right? When you're 3-7.
Yep.
You still have the Panthers at home, and you have the Colts at home, and then you have the Texans at home, and you have a good Seahawks team at home, but you play well at home, and you go to the Texans. This team's going to win 6-7 games. I promise you. Like, the over-under on wins for this team right now, I'd set it at 7.5. I think this team still has a very good chance of winning 9 games. And if they beat the Bucs, I predict they will be 9-7 playing the Jags in the finale. The Jags will have won the division. That's also my prediction. But they'll probably be mathematically alive for a playoff spot. Even if that doesn't play out that way, they're going to win some of those games because they're going to put everything into a game week, into winning those games, because it's what they do. They're professional athletes who take a beating, and it is pure misery when you lose, and it is joyful when you win because you're actually doing the job. Please understand that.
We talking ourselves into 9-7, final game of the year, Nissan Stadium. Jags have wrapped up the division. They're resting Trevor Lawrence. Titans win the game 10-7, get into a wild card spot. Is that what we're doing?
I mean, I think it's possible. The problem for the Titans, as we talked about too earlier, is that you've got you're three games behind the Steelers right now for basically the last spot, right?
Yeah.
Now you're two games back and you lost a tiebreaker to them. You've lost to everybody in the AFC North other than the Bengals, who I think are going to blow past your record anyway. So it's not a good spot. But for them to be mathematically alive still for that, I could absolutely see that.
We'll get back into Will Levis's performance last night against the Steelers coming up next. What did you think of Levis and the way that he played? We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Pigskin Pick'em. Coming up at 8:30. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 105, 106.3 The Game.